Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." So Jesus sends out his disciples to go and preach and to heal, a mission that was focused entirely on Israel. In other words, when he says, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, remember that the gospel was for the Jews first, and that's what he's doing right here. It was not time to preach this to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, even though Jesus does end up speaking with the woman at the Samaritan well. But that laid a seed for the disciples, the apostles, to build on at a later time. There's an undertone within all of what Jesus is telling them, preparing them for the fact that not everybody's going to be happy to hear your message. You might be happy to preach it. You might be happy to know it because you knew me, but there will be people that won't be happy to receive that message, and they will reject you. And he prepares them for that rejection with telling them, shake off the dust of your feet against that house, or even, as a possibility, a whole town. A whole town might reject the preaching that comes from Jesus. Just an interesting note for us to understand this idea of shake off the dust from your feet. This was a practice of the Jews that if they went into a Gentile territory, as they came back into their territory, they didn't want to bring anything from the Gentiles with them. And so they would shake the dust off of their feet, wanting no association with those Gentiles whatsoever to cling to them. It's an act of judgment as well as an act that indicates that they don't want any association with that which they consider to be unclean. Here, Jesus is telling his disciples that this is a testimony of the rejection of the message, that they're going to move on. They're not going to take any of that with them. They want to reject, then let their own actions be upon them. Now, if you think about this for a moment, you could draw a parallel here and say that these Jews that rejected them, and then the disciples have to shake off that dust from their feet, those Jews are just like the Gentiles now, aren't they? They have rejected God. I think this was a small picture of what they were going to encounter in preaching the gospel after the ascension of Jesus. He's preparing them for the fact that they were going to have to face difficulty in making their way through life. So he says, don't take anything with you. You're going to have to, you know, get your food based on the work that you do in preaching the gospel from those that appreciate what you're doing. He tells them that you're going to encounter rejection. And he tells them that you're going to have to learn to move on from that rejection and not allow that to stop you from seeking out the next person that wants to hear the good news. And those are lessons that to some degree we can learn for ourselves today as well. But this little bit of preparation that they go through will help them later on when they are apostles of Jesus the Christ, establishing the church and preaching the gospel to all who are lost. In yesterday's lesson, I talked about not being ashamed of the gospel, Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I talked about the fact that we needed to be like Paul. We didn't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We needed to realize what the gospel really means, what we've received, and out of gratitude, humility, we need to go out there and share the gospel with other people. Well, that was the preparation that they're undergoing right here, is helping them to be able to have that kind of an attitude, that they're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not going to stop preaching the gospel because of any particular opposition or hardship or anything along the way, that they're going to preach it all the way through to the ends of their lives. And I think we do see that with the apostles, with the exception of the disciple Judas, which ends up betraying him, and then add in Paul the apostle at a later date. In tomorrow's reading, we're going to expound upon that idea about the persecution, starting in verse 16. But here, in these 15 verses, we see that Jesus is not just teaching his disciples, he's preparing his disciples. He's preparing them for a work that he has chosen them to do at a later time. I wonder sometimes, and I'm sure that others do as well, what it must have been like to be able to go into an area and be able to cast out an unclean spirit, to heal a disease, to even raise someone from the dead. That had to be truly incredible. But what I notice is that when we get into the book of Acts, which is the record of what the apostles were doing, what the church was doing in the first century, they're not focusing on healing, raising the dead, those types of things. They did them, yes, but what was the focus? The focus was on the preaching of the gospel. The miracles were there in order to confirm the word. So don't get too caught up in the miraculous nature of these things that they're doing. These were things that God gave them simply to prove that they were from him, that they were truly following what God wanted them to do, preaching a good news that came directly from him, not from the mind of any man, not from, you know, cunning fables, anything like that. No, it was truly from God. And we need to remember that. When we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel, we are preaching a message that is from God, from our Creator, the one true and living God, the one who has all the power and all the authority in the entire universe. For it all belongs to him. He created it. So it's important that we realize this frame of mind that needed to be developed within the disciples, and likewise needs to be developed within us. Hope that these things benefit you today, and hope that you can spend some time meditating on this particular passage, thinking about being courageous and telling others about Jesus, and not allowing any sort of rejection to slow you down or stop you in the sharing of that message, for it truly is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.